Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dan Quinn expected to speak this hour before mandatory minicamp day number one. We'll carry a lot of that towards the back half of this hour. Joining me right now, David Aldridge. Of course, David writes for The Athletic, and David was a big part of all of those TNT years and saw a lot of those highlights in their final days doing the NBA. At David Aldridge DC on X on Twitter, you tweeted something the other day that I either retweeted or liked. You said, never cared about people who have already decided before a series that they won't watch for whatever reason. Don't care what their reasons are. Don't want them on the boat. If you love hoops, you'll love this series, period. And I love hoops. Why do you love this series?
Because these are the two best teams in the league, and they've been outstanding for not just days, but for months now. You know, OKC's been the best team in the league all season, and the Pacers, I don't know what the exact record is, but something like 45-14 since New Year's Day or something like that. I mean, they've been outstanding, like, you know, the second half of the season and throughout the playoffs. And excellence should be something to celebrate, not to denigrate. And so I can't waste time with people who are not going to seriously, you know, evaluate how good a player Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is or what a clutch player Tyrese Halliburton is because they don't play in New York or L.A. or whatever your favorite big media market is. That's insane. I just don't think you don't care about the game. You just care about your Knicks or your, you know, your Lakers or whatever. I care about the game. I love the game of basketball. I love to see it played well. The standard to me is the 2014 San Antonio Spurs. They played as good a team basketball series against a really good Miami team with LeBron at the height of his powers and blew them off the floor in 5 games. And that's the standard to me. And that, you know, the Spurs are in one of the smallest media markets in the country. I don't care. If that's where the best basketball is being played, who cares where they play it? You know, like, enjoy the game. Enjoy what you're watching because, you know, players this good and teams this good are not common, so you should enjoy it instead of criticizing it.
I'm with you 100%, and I've loved this entire postseason, and I'm enjoying this series as well. I want to come back to this series in a moment and talk about how great Oklahoma City is, but, you know, what are we seeing right now, David, in the NBA, you know, on the verge of a 7th consecutive different champion than the 6 years that preceded it? This was a league of dynastic runs of the same kinds of teams involved. Why are we seeing this, and what's ahead?
Well, this is socially engineered by the league. I mean, they have made, you know, they have made what they call competitive advantage, but is basically parity, their goal. And they have jerry-rigged the system to ensure or to make it all but impossible, really, to build a team and to maintain a team through the old-fashioned method of let's find two or three superstars and play them together, and we'll be able to, because we can, we're willing to pay the tax, we can buy contracts and essentially buy contracts from players, veteran players who want to come play for us, who are a little expensive but who don't make a ton of money, and we'll pay the tax on that. We don't mind doing it as long as we can keep the party going. So what made the Golden States of the world great? Obviously, it was Steph and it was Clay, but they could always bring in, whether it was an Iguodala or a Sean Livingston, you know, or David West, they could always bring in another vet, right, to just do vet things for 10 or 12 minutes a game and let the superstar shine. You can't do that anymore under this system. The tax is so regressive. The tax is so punitive, and it's not just the tax. It is the restrictions on trades. It's the restriction on draft picks if you're a second apron team for more than a couple of years. And it's impossible. It's just impossible to operate as a second apron team for very long. Even, look, the Celtics, this most storied franchise in the history of this league, they're not only are they selling the team because of the just incredible luxury tax payments that they have, which really impacts that the families in terms of their, you know, their ability to pass their wealth on to their kids. But they are going to break up their team that just won the NBA championship last year. And they're not doing it because those guys can't play anymore. They're doing it because it's too expensive. They can't keep it together. They cannot keep that team together and pay that kind of tax. And you add to that Tatum's injury, of course. But even before Tatum got hurt, they were going in that direction. And that's just what this system is designed to do. And so the teams that normally would be at the top and be willing to spend whatever it took, nobody can do it for very long. You just can't do it. You can't pay that much tax and have your picks frozen. Like, there's no way you can build a team. There's no way you can maintain a good team. So that's why you have so much turnover from year to year in terms of who the best teams are.
Yeah. You know, it's ironic that the NFL and Pete Rozelle sort of designed a system for parity, and yet the most dynastic run, we saw two iterations of it with the Patriots in the 21st century. But basketball, yes, is heading in that direction. But I want to know if you still agree with something that I know we've talked about before. You know, even in this new era, it's still, to me, to win an NBA title requires a top five-ish superstar player. You know, we have not had since the 04 Pistons a team win the title without having a debatable top five superstar lead the way. Do you think that that is still a requirement moving forward? Now, if the Pacers win, and I don't think they will, that would break the trend. But obviously, if Oklahoma City wins, the trend continues. What do you say?
Right. I mean, it's always easier to build a championship team around a top 10, top five player. It's not a coincidence, to your point, that each of these seven different champions, each of these six different champions, had a first ballot Hall of Fame player on their roster that they could build around. The problem is there's not many of those to go around. So a lot of teams, and Indiana is a perfect example of that, have decided that they are going to try and build teams obviously around their best player. And Halliburton is, you know, a very good player, maybe a great player. But it's much more about the strength of numbers that the Warriors used to talk about, their depth, basically. You have to have a lot of depth. And teams are going more the depth route now. We're going to try and build a team where we can play 9, 10, 11 guys comfortably and credibly during the regular season. And maybe that gets reduced to 8 or 9 during the playoffs. But we're going to roll as many guys out there as we can to try and make up for a perhaps perceived talent deficit. And it's just more economical, right? Again, to the earlier point about parity. So the Pacers getting to the finals, I think, and to a certain degree, the Knicks. I mean, Brunson's their best player. Brunson's an, you know, all NBA player. Is he top five in the league? Probably not, realistically. But he's top 15. So the goal may be now, Kevin, let's get a top 15 player and see if we can put enough guys around him and be intentional about how we build a team around him that we can compete at the higher levels. And I think that's what you're going to see more of in the coming years.
Talking to David Aldridge, before we get back to these NBA finals, you know, I've talked about you got to be patient when it comes to our team here, the Wizards. But ultimately, they're going to have to get it right on a couple of big time, you know, players. Like you said, you know, maybe it's a top 15 with another two or three top 15 guys on the team. But how do you feel about, you know, this new era of Wizards basketball 2 years into this venture?
I mean, obviously, look, this was a crushing disappointment for them. They were.
I wouldn't say they were, and
you can't anticipate, it's the lottery. You can't anticipate you're going to get the top two pick, but they certainly were hopeful, and they were clear, and they were that they were going to tank this season in the hopes that they could get a top three pick, and did everything to try and make that possible. And six is, no matter how they spend it, is an awful result. Just awful. It's just terrible. Now, having said that, you can't whiff on six. You can't just throw your hands up and say, well, there's no good players. No. You're going to go all the way in on a rebuild like they're doing and go all the way to the bottom. You can't miss on draft picks, ever. That's the Oklahoma City model, is that we're going to take so many swings at this that even if we miss one or two, we're going to hit some home runs. The Wizards have yet to hit a home run. I don't see it yet. I think some of their guys have a chance to be good role players. But I don't think there's anybody on this roster yet that's the guy that you go, wow, he's going to be. So whether they stay at six or they try to move up a couple of spots through a trade, they got to get somebody that's impactful this year. And they got to get somebody that's impactful next year, like a real guy that you can build around. I happen to think Trey Johnson's a real guy you can build around. Every team in the league. Most teams in the league have a guy like Trey Johnson, whether it's, you know, Devin Booker or Jamal Murray, neither of whom were top five picks, right? You need a guy that can just go get you a bucket. That's what this league is about. Guys, you still need guys that can get you a bucket. And Trey Johnson can get you a bucket. And so to me, however, I don't know where he falls in the draft because I don't know what Philly's doing.
Somewhere around there. Somewhere around six.
I don't know what Philly's doing at three. If Philly keeps the pick, maybe I don't think they would take him, but somebody might try to trade up to get him. That's my point. Like, so you may have to trade up to three to get him, you know? I don't know. But that's the type of guy I think would be an impactful guy for the Wizards at six, if they stay there. You could also go – there's another thing the teams are doing now. More teams are going big, bigger than ever. Everybody wants to play with two bigs. You see Oklahoma City does it with Hartenstein and with Holmgren. You could make a case for taking Malawach at six. You could. If you think Sarr is not – a long-term answer at center, and he may not be. And you want to take a real center and move Sarr to the four, and you're 7-1 and 7-2 in the back, that's a strategy. We'll see. I don't know if it'll work, but that makes sense the way the league is going right now.
You know, it really would have been, and I'm sure you contemplated this as well, but if they had landed at number one, even if Flag, you know, way down the road proved to be just a good player and not a transcendent player, immediately the Wizards would have become relevant. And it's been so long since they've been relevant. And actually, with that in mind, and we'll come back to the NBA Finals, I just wanted to mention something that I mentioned to Tommy the other day, to Lavera the other day. The other night on Monumental, David, they had Game 7 of the 78 NBA Finals on, as it was broadcast by CBS with Musburger and Rick Barry on the call. Have you watched that game on YouTube ever?
Oh, sure. I watched it live when I was 13 years old.
Well, I know that. We both did. But have you watched the replay at any point in the last several years? Because it's available on YouTube.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. I've seen a few. You know, I watched a few of their playoff games in that 77, 78, 79 stretch. You know, go back and look at it.
What strikes you about the basketball then versus now?
Oh, God, it's a completely different game.
It's so different.
That was pre-three-point line. You know, like, they didn't even have a three-point line.
There's
So, you know, everything was in the paint. There was 10 feet in the paint. You know what I mean? Like, every 20 feet in the paint, both teams. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's a completely different game. It's like pre-World War II baseball. It's a completely different game, you know? I mean, you watch it for the entertainment value, but you understand, like, there's nothing that anchors that era of basketball to this era of basketball. But, you know, it was fun watching Charles Johnson hit a half-court shot at the end of the third quarter.
More than almost three-quarters court.
Yeah, and Kupchak's three-point play, which was the biggest play of that Game 7, you know, so... that was fun. It's always fun to go back and look at, you know, an era where the Wizards' bullets were actually good.
Of course, the NBA wasn't even that relevant in that moment. But you know what? So what struck me, and you didn't say this, but the differences in the way the game was played, obviously, because of no 3-point line. But I'm telling you, man, the skill difference is just so significantly different. I mean.
Sure.
The players of today, forget the athleticism conversation, evolution, the whole thing. The skill level is just so much greater. I think it's so much greater now than it was even 25 years ago. But you go back 48 years ago, and it is completely different.
Yeah, I mean, I think too many times, Kevin, people kind of conflate skill level with, are they good basketball players?
Yeah.
You know, the skill level is off the charts. Yes, they can. Their dribbling is better. Their shooting is better.
No. Fair.
All of that
fair.
Stuff.
Yes.
But are they better basketball players? That's my kind of, you know, bottom line. Some of them are. Some of them are not. So that's where I am on it. Like, I can't, like, unilaterally say the game is just better now because they're more skilled. Some of them are very much more skilled. And some of them are great basketball players, but some of them aren't. And so you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt, I think.
All right. Let's get back to what's at hand. I never let the regular season sort of make me think that it's just going to be an extension, because I think the playoffs are a completely different product altogether in the NBA. But, man, Oklahoma City, David, I mean, even though, you know, you kind of have to earn your way historically to an NBA championship, you know, you win one series year one, two the next. I mean, this has been the best team of the postseason. I'm not even sure it's close. Talk about how great this team is, and maybe even put it in terms of some recent historical context.
Well, you can just go back to last year. The Celtics, if you I
true and yeah, 17-3 in the postseason. Yeah.
Well, yes, but also regular season. So you add them up and see what their record was. And the Celtics' record was some, I think, was 80-21. If you add the playoffs. So, and that made them one of, and I looked this up. So this was, I wrote this after they won. They were the 10th greatest team of all time. If you look at win percent, total win percentage of regular season and playoffs, because they go 63 or maybe they were 81 and 20.
64 and 18, and they were 16-3 in the postseason. Yeah, so they were 80-21.
80-21. So, you know, OKC won 68-14. And it went three. I'm going by losses always. They lost three. They lost none. I can't remember. But anyway.
They've lost five so far. They've lost five so far. Three to Denver, one to Minnesota, one to Indiana.
Yeah, they're on pace to be somewhere, or if they win 16 and win the championship, they will be at 84 and whatever. That will make them one of the most successful teams in the history of basketball. Period. End of sentence. They'll be a top 10 team of all time. If you add regular season and playoff wins. So their defense is, you know, I've said this, and I will write about it at some point, hopefully before the series is over. I hate comparing eras because people bring their own biases to it, but I do believe that they are comparable to the first Bulls three-peat championship team. That was not the Rodman years. That was the Horace Grant years, because that team was incredibly athletic defensively. Their ability
the team
to
beat
track,
the Lakers in the final for his first.
Correct, and that's right. And so, and then went and then beat Portland, and then beat Phoenix for the first three.
Right.
Because that Jordan was still at that point a great on-ball defender. He, you know, as he got older, he was not quite as great on ball, but he was still smart and knew how to play team defense. Pippen was lethal defensively, and Horace Grant was terrific defensively. So his ability to hedge, to trap to hedge on a pick and roll, to force it back to the middle and then get back to his man to recover was amazing, you know, and they were connected. They just, all five guys were connected. This team reminds me of that team. But their ability to play five defensive players together, their ability to switch, the ability to contest, they're obviously, they get their hands on everything. They're very aggressive. But it's not so much their hands, it's their feet and their ability to move and to take space away and to take driving lanes away and to make people one-dimensional. It's remarkable. Their defense is sensational. It's not good. It's sensational. And assuming that they win this series, and I do think they will win it. I think it will take six games, but I think they'll win it. They'll be one of the best defensive teams in the modern era. Absolutely. You know, Caruso is just a Swiss Army knife. You just put him on anybody, you know, and he shuts them. Doesn't shut them down, but he really makes them inefficient. Like, he really makes them inefficient. The defense he played on Jokic in that series was insane.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of giving away 70 pounds and 6 inches, whatever it is, you know, like, and they've got, you know, multiple guys. Dort is a linebacker playing in the NFL. Like, he's physical, but he moves his feet so well. He takes charges. He's diving on the floor for loose balls. You know, they're really good. Shea is a really solid, good defensive player. He's not getting, they're not hunting him. You can't hunt him. Like Indiana hunted Brunson in the conference finals. You can't hunt Shea.
Right.
Like, he's pretty good. Like, you're not going to get a lot out of that. You know, so there's, and then they got size in the back, you know, with Hartenstein, who's, you know, more of a space eater, not really a lockdown guy, but Holmgren's a great shot blocker, really good weak side shot blocker. You know, so they get you at multiple levels. It's really hard to score against this team consistently. They're really good. So that's where I would say they are one of the better teams of this era, I think, if they go ahead and finish this thing off.
Yeah, I mean, well said. I can't remember a defensive team in the postseason like this one. I don't think I've ever seen a half of defense like the half they played in game one against the Pacers. And, you know, it's not just their starting five. Basically, you know, they're like 10 players, any five on the floor, they can switch one through five and shut you down. It's so impressive to watch. So you gave me your prediction the rest of the way. You like the Thunder. You like Indiana to win one more game. I'll finish up with this because this is a topic du jour for those of us that are paying attention to it. But what is Tyrese Halliburton to you?
He's a really good player, Kevin. I mean, and look, you can't go on a run that he's gone on and say it's luck or a fluke or whatever that. No, he's made four game-winning shots or game-tying shots in the last 2 seconds of regulation. Four times in the playoffs. That's not luck. All right. That's a guy that's confident and can get to his spot and makes difficult shots under duress. You know, he is a, if he's not a top five player in this league, you can certainly make an argument he's a top 10 player in this league. They play off of him. They feed off of him. They need his energy. He has this habit of kind of disappearing because he's trying to get other people involved. I don't think he has the luxury of doing that in this series. I think he's got to be intentional about getting to the rim and pushing the pace and getting, not just getting other guys' shots, but taking it to the basket and getting to the foul line. They feed off of his energy. And I think that's why I think the Pacers will win at least one more game in this series, because he'll play better. He's always followed clunkers with really good games the next game. He had a clunker the other night. He will play better tomorrow. They will play better tomorrow. I think they will win game three, and then game four will be the series. Whoever wins that game wins the series. And I happen to think it'll be Oklahoma City, but we'll see. We'll see.
Appreciate you doing this. Follow David on X at David Aldridge DC. His book with John Hollinger came out late in the fall of this past year. It's called The Basketball 100, The Story of the Greatest Players in NBA History. Appreciate you doing this. Enjoy the rest of it. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it, man.
David Aldridge, everybody. Dan Quinn set to speak out in Ashburn prior to mandatory minicamp day number one. We'll carry that for you. You'll hear it coming up. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. You can download the Odyssey app and listen to us wherever you are, whenever you want. You can watch the show now on the Team 980's YouTube page. Hit the subscribe button when you get there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Mandatory thing in this offseason is minicamp. It seems like all of the NFL teams are holding their minicamp at the same time. Dan Quinn is speaking before they take the field right now. We take you out to Ashburn so you can hear the head coach.
This energy of the newest ones combined with the, you know, guys going into year two and the jump they're going to make, it was made for an interesting couple of days, so I thought I'd share that with you. And we'll get started. Questions about the camp and getting rocking.
Obviously, Terry not here. How does that affect you guys just in terms of planning these sessions? And is there at all any concern that it could affect the offense as a whole down the road as they really build that rapport together?
Sure. And the good news is lots of rapport has been built. And so those are all the times and, you know, hours and hours upon doing that. Hey, sometimes football and business, they intersect. And this is one of those times. Terry is a fantastic teammate and really puts in the work and spent a lot of time with him already this offseason. So, but let's, the business side of things, you know, Adam and their crew and Terry and his group, they'll let them work through that. But in the meantime, lots of stuff to do. And we try to customize as much as we can, Nikki, who can do what, who's in rehab, who can do some things, who can do everything, who needs to see more during this time of year, and who do we need to see less. And so this is one of those times you're really able to customize the script and the work to do that.
Brandon Coleman, as you've kind of just moved him around, like you're moving around other guys, how has he kind of adapted and adjusted as you've done that?
Yeah, really coming into it, because he had good versatility coming out of TCU, the move inside, he was ready to begin that process early. So it started prior to him even getting to the off-season program in his training, working on different sets to do that. So he's a rare guy because he's got the width and the bulk to play inside, but the athleticism to play outside. But he's really locked in on the techniques that it'll take. And so for the big guys, they don't get to fully express that until the training camp, just by the nature of their positions. But he's done an excellent job of getting the just the timing and the footwork and the sets in that he can.
I know you'd prefer to talk about guys who are out there and all that, but I am curious with the Terry situation. Is there something you've learned over the years how to deal with these kind of situations and how maybe even things leading up to it to make sure things are okay from?
Yeah, I think it's why, you know, like, you know, that we all have, you know, people that can help on that side. So I can have the relationship as the coach and the ball player and the man. And so, yeah, just keep cool head about it and, you know, keep communication up, which, you know, Terry and I certainly do. So I think the main thing, like, expect the expected. Sometimes the business and football can get contentious and difficult, but it never has to be with the people that are inside the locker room and doing that. And so I've learned that, yeah, through the years, and easy advice to follow.
Laremy and Marshawn are here this week.
Correct.
What are you expecting to see from them, especially with Marshawn coming off like the hamstring stuff and all that?
Yeah, like I was saying earlier, a little bit customized, John, who will do what, how much we'll get. So, and it'll kind of depend on the day as well, what we want to feature and where we're at. But yeah, they're both doing good and pumped they're here and getting rolling with us. So they're really, I've enjoyed, you know, like spending time with them here. Like for Marshawn, when it's traded, it's in season, it's already intense. And so it's in a different atmosphere. You get to have some good conversations. And same with Laremy from the trade to get him here. I got a chance to meet, you know, his family, you know, when he arrived here. And so not every time you get to do that. So, you know, I took that time to spend time with, you know, his son and his family. Like, that was a good deal for me to get a chance to spend time with him. I got to know his why maybe before he even got here and got into the locker room.
Dan, this may be in line with your customization for the work after these guys. Is Marshawn a full participant this week?
He'll get quite a bit, but I'll see where it goes after today, and do we need to see how much tomorrow. But yeah, I would say full participant going into it. What does that mean for everybody? A little bit different, Ben, but yeah, there's no restrictions going in.
Gotcha. And the idea of these off-season programs has changed over time. You get less work. What for you has maybe changed? I don't know if it's from your Atlanta days or just other times, like of what this week actually means and what, you know, the ultimate goal kind of is out of this week.
Yeah. And it's a lot different. And I think that's the change is good. You know, obviously we're doing it to help, you know, the players and go to it for, as some of you may remember, like way back, the mandatory camp came right after the draft, two practices, one. So it was five practices in a weekend. I don't know what load management or those kind of things would say about that nowadays, but it probably wouldn't be too favorable. But I do know that you want to isolate the skills, Ben, and see where we're at. And then the rookies have been here about 1 month. And so for them and for the players that are going into year two, what's the learning like? Have you applied, you know, what we've learned in this time together so you can really, you know, let it go once you get, you know, into training camp? And so, like, there'll be a natural break that'll come up, you know, 2 or 3 days from now. And there's almost like a 40 days before you get to training camp and having a real plan for what that looks like. But in this space, I always like to see the newest players and their acclimation, where they're at. And it kind of gives you a little test, a little barometer where they're at mentally and, you know, regarding the playbook and that. To do the whole factors, physically, mentally, emotionally, like all the things you have to pour into it. But it's a good, I would say just a good test. Where are you exactly with the knowledge of it all?
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
Kind of speaking actually to like how things evolve, if you had one kind of overarching, you know, obviously can't be very specific, but goal for this mini camp for your team, what would that be?
Well, number one, like always, like the health of the team. You know, I love seeing the communication on all three phases, because if we can get that part right, I know the contact and those things will take place, but you have to have the communication down at a really, really strong level. And so I want to hear it. I want to feel that all the way through in all three phases, knowing that's kind of giving you information as the teacher that the student knows it. Oftentimes we've all been in classroom where there was good teaching that went on, but we don't know if there was good learning. You know, those lecture halls that we were like for a long time, and then, okay, I don't know, I wrote some things down, I might have missed a half hour there somewhere. Like, when the communication happens on the field, you get feedback as a coach. This is happening. He understands it. There's a good communication. So that's what I like to listen for.
You're listening to Dan Quinn out at Minicamp, live here on the Team 980.
where exactly you guys are going to employ him. I know you don't want to give that away, obviously, but just some general thoughts on his skill set.
Yeah. Number one, he's got a lot of experience. That's an outside backer. And, you know, being on the edge, we'll feature him more into that. He's got a good special teams background as well. But, yeah, we'll feature him on the edge and outside linebacker kind of roles. And then on teams, I really think it's probably three or four out of the, you know, the core. And he's off to a good start here. I really enjoyed connecting with him, Dietrich, Jonathan Jones, JK, to name just a few, of getting to know them and who they are. And so that's been an important part for me through this offseason.
Coach, hi. If I could just ask you one more thing about Terry. Obviously, we know what he's done on the field in terms of numbers. You touched on it a little bit at the beginning, but in terms of his intangibles, especially for the rest of the wide receiver room, what do you think that he has brought to that particular wideout room?
Well, for a long time, there's really, really high standards, you know, of what a professional can be. I can think back to one of the things he was working on last training camp, and I remember standing with Adam. He was working on low catches, so they were like either stationary or running catches that were below the knee, and it's like that type of specific throws after practice that were down towards his feet. That's a pro's pro, you know, where he was finding the smallest of detail to get better at, not the, you know, the catch that's right here. And he's already exceptional at tracking the deep ball and looking over his shoulder. So I love when people are finding a specific thing. I want to work on that thing to get better at it. I think Terry, that was like a clear demonstration of that. It may sound like a small thing, but that's really, you know, like finding the edge to say, what can I, you know, work on?
And one more thing, you said you spent a lot of time with the rookies. Obviously, that's such a tough transition, I think, for any player to come from college to the pro level. What do you hope that they take away from this particular minicamp in this time period that they've had?
I want them to know that the process that they're going through is normal, and I want them to fail successfully some, knowing that there's going to be mistakes, and this is the only way they know if this technique that we're teaching is going to work. If you don't do that, you're really shortchanging yourself, because the way, you know, Jason Simmons may, you know, teach a specific technique may be new to them, and then all of a sudden it just clicks. And okay, but you do have to apply it and try it to go. And at the end of it, I think you need to show them belief. I think that is powerful when you're seeing them do it. I don't think it can be just blind, hey, you're going to be great, and then not showing all the work that has to go into it. But knowing that there's a process that all the people have gone through, and early they were guarded. I don't know what it's going to be like here. They'd heard, okay, the people will look after you, meaning the other players, to help you grow. And so I think that helped, knowing, like, one of the questions I ask is, who's made a big impact on you since you've been here? And so many times you hear it's this player. Sometimes it might have been somebody they sat next to in the locker room, but not at the same position. And so it kind of gives me a little test too, to know who's already making an impact as they're going. So it is a question, you know, like during these meetings over the last few days. But it's a hard process for them. They're realizing all of the reps matter. They don't get a lot of them. So when I can deliver, I'll get some more. So it's like step by step as it's going.
Got time for three more. Are there any tweaks or adjustments you've made to minicamp, even from last year?
Not necessarily as much from last year. We're still working game management situations. We probably worked a little more third down and no huddle. And I would say maybe, because now we've been through to say we emphasized more of the third down this offseason. So that's probably a byproduct of that, where last year it was, you know, we're not going to miss one step of the installation, one step of that. So maybe a little more customized this time around.
Hey, Coach, I know you mentioned the players who are in year two and,
yes,
and seeing their growth. So what are you looking to see from the veterans on the team who are new to the team this year?
Yeah, that's onboarding as well. And we had talked about some of the guys who had come in. They're different than the rookies. This is their first year in the system, and it's everybody else's second year. And so over that time, have they learned, you know, the standards we've set? Have they learned the techniques that we want? And so that's why being a part of the off-season program is a good one, because there's a lot of peer-to-peer coaching that takes place. I may say it, or Cliff may say it, or Joe in a meeting room, or Larry. But then it's like, hey, here's what Dan or here's what Joe or Cliff are saying. And, like, that's, to me, where the leading takes place, not just from what I say, but when they're sharing it from one another. I can remember a conversation with Nick Ballore earlier today that he had already connected with a couple of people, you know, about certain techniques or things they were doing, and that lets me know that we're in the right spot to do things.
Hey, Coach, in talking to some of the defensive coaches last week, they said that they left a lot of meat on the bone. So when you look at the front of the defense, it's a lot of new faces there.
Yep.
Are you seeing them mash together in this early stage?
Yeah, Don, it's a good question, and one they've been very intentional about. Even in the meetings times where there's so many times the front seven are all together, whether it's linebackers or D-line, all of them kind of doing things together. I like the way that Joe has split up a lot of the teaching, even in a walkthrough setting. This is the blitz package that's all going together. These are the run game. And so they've done a lot together. And so I have seen that mesh take place. But it was very intentional, I thought, by the staff as well. And I think that's what it should be from, like, if the staff are asking the players to improve, then as a staff, we also need to improve. Because otherwise, I think then we'd be shortchanging the players, like myself included. So elevating the players is also elevating the staff. And if we can all do that together, then we can really go after it. But, yeah, they were very intentional about meshing that together with the front.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Was Dan Quinn out in Ashburn. They're getting ready for minicamp day number one. Minicamp scheduled for three consecutive days, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. I think he will be speaking tomorrow as well. There were a couple of things that he said there, including answering that last question that I want to follow up on. And we will do that right after these words from a few of our sponsors. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show on thekevinsheehanshow.com.
All right, minicamps are underway across the NFL. Notable minicamp absences include Terry McLaurin and TJ Watt, who are both attempting to secure extensions. Laremy Tunsil and Marshawn Lattimore are both present in Ashburn for Commanders minicamp this week. And with reports that the Knicks are preparing a tsunami-type deal, ESPN's Brian Windhorst has responded, quote, "Right now, there is no Giannis Antetokounmpo trade market. There is no Giannis Antetokounmpo trade discussions. He has not asked for it. The Bucks are not looking to trade him." And according to USA Today, Colorado head football coach Deion Sanders is currently dealing with a health issue and has been away from the team for some time. The Washington Nationals have recalled Andre Shaparo from AAA Rochester on Tuesday and have sent down Nassim Nunez. The Nats will play tonight. They take on the Mets at 7:10. Mackenzie Gore expected to be on the bump. Nats on deck at 6:40 with Charlie and Dave on the Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980 and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From my guy Seth in Potomac, he writes, Kevin, Jaden's new deal will be backloaded when we get there, so there shouldn't be a link to Terry's deal now. Yeah, Seth, I get it. You know, that's not necessarily what I was saying. First of all, I was answering an email from Carter, who wondered if they might be a bit cash poor right now. And I said it was worth contemplating. I don't believe that they are. But, you know, the cash outlay over the last 2 years, the $6 billion for the team, the $75 to $100 for the stadium upgrade to meet code. And, yeah, for planning purposes, what's down the road in what will be, more likely than not, an expected all-time deal for Jaden Daniels when we get there. But as it relates to that, you know, even if it were structured where it was back-end loaded for cap purposes, it doesn't change the need for cash when the new deal is finalized, if it's finalized in 2027, which, again, they don't have to do a deal in 2027. That's just the first opportunity for them to do a deal, because you can't do a deal with a player on a rookie deal until that player's completed his third year in the league. They don't have to do it then. I would imagine if he plays the way he played last year in the upcoming season and in 2026, they will. But I'm talking about more cash requirement, you know, at signing rather than how it's structured from a cap standpoint. So thanks, though, for the email. So there are a couple of things. First of all, that last question just about the defense. You know, you look at their roster, it's very possible there will be five to six, probably five, though, new starters defensively. You know, Will Harris looks like a starter. I would say certainly a combination of Kinlaw, Wise, Goldman, that'll probably produce at least two new starters. That's three. You could certainly have one in Jonathan Jones, which is four. You could have Jordan McGee as sort of part of the starting lineup mix. That's going to be interesting. You know, that is the biggest concern. You know, all of the conversations about this team, big picture going into 2025, at least as it stands now, subject to change once we get to the games, will they be better on defense than they were last year? Because they need to be. If they're not, their chances of winning the Super Bowl or getting to the Super Bowl aren't that great. Because to get there, they're probably going to have to win more games than the Eagles, or at least finish in a, you know, in an advantageous tiebreaker situation at the top of the division, so they get at least one game at home, if not two. And if their defense is what it was last year or worse, they're not going to get there. They're just, I know that what they overcame last year in terms of not being very good defensively, but it was also against, you know, teams that aren't necessarily what they're going to face this year in terms of what the schedule looks like now. So I thought that was interesting. And then as it relates to the Terry questions, you know, he said basically, you know, business and football, you know, sometimes I think the word is that he used was sometimes they intersect. And this is one of those times, and he spoke glowingly about Terry, but then he came back in a follow-up question, and I thought he said something interesting, because I thought it was in some ways an admission, not that this is a surprise, but he said, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, things, you know, between the player and a portion of the organization, meaning the front office, can get, and he used the word contentious to describe it. But then in sort of this good cop, bad cop scenario that he laid out, He said, it doesn't have to be that way, though, between the player and the locker room. The player and the coaches, the player and the other players. It can be that way between player and front office, the negotiating team, but it doesn't have to be that way with the players or the coaches that, you know, he deals with. And that's, you know, that's a good cop, bad cop scenario that he's describing. But I thought it was interesting that he did use the word contentious, you know, and I know that we kind of feel like that may be true off of the reporting last week. But he said, you know, business and football can get contentious, but it doesn't have to be between me and Terry, head coach and Terry, or Terry's teammates and Terry. It can be that way between Terry, his agent, and those that he's negotiating with directly. It doesn't have to be with everybody else. All right, that is it for the day. Thanks to David Aldridge, who jumped on with us. Chris is next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.